This episode of Grown Men Coloring is brought to you by Josh Kyle. J-O-S-H-K-E-I-L. Not pronounced Keel, pronounced Kyle. Look him up, Josh Kyle Health. He's a good boy. He's a good person. He's good at nutrition and stuff. I don't know what he would think about eating avocado seeds. I've heard that they're very healthy. But they're awful.
How do you eat them?
You just eat them. You just chop on them, and you...
Aren't they kind of hard, though? Like, when they break all your teeth?
Yeah, no, they're not that hard. They're not hard enough that they break your teeth, but they make you want to, I don't know what they make you want to do, but it's not... It's not good. They're awful. Mm. If bile, had a way that you could taste it without it coming from your stomach...
Yeah.
I would say avocado seeds would be the way to make that happen. They're really awful.
Really?
If you ever eat kale, you ever eat kale?
Sure.
And what do you think of kale?
It doesn't taste like bitter shit.
It's awful. It's awful. Yeah. Kale is terrible. Eating an avocado seed after eating kale is a good life lesson that things can always get worse.
Yeah.
So, check out Josh Kyle Health. Without further ado, another episode of this very, very extremely bitter episode of Grown Men Coloring. I'm Lee.
Bob.
Nice. Thanks for joining us. A lot of people hate listening to sounds of people eating on podcasts.
But it's too late now.
It's too late now, and this is going to be especially bad because I'm not only am I eating, but I'm eating something that tastes terrible.
Mm.
It's affecting my mood. How you been? What are you up to?
Good. Not much. Not much. Just the regular stuff.
Regular stuff. How do you feel about the draft lottery? Are you as bitter about the draft lottery as Penguins fans are about Sidney Crosby getting cross-checked in the face?
You know, I thought I'm a Sabres fan. I'm done with us ever having a chance winning it. And this would be the draft lottery we would win, the one that's not very good.
The one that they say it's not a good
year. It's a little weaker. I bet it'll be better than they say.
Do you want a beer?
Okay.
You're good? Yeah. I gotta grab something to get this awful taste going, but keep going.
Anyways, yeah, no, it would figure this would be the year we'd do well, but we didn't, so we pick eighth. I think we picked eighth last year, too, so whatever.
Where did you guys finish? Like, where, if nothing changed, what pick
would you? I think we were seventh.
Okay.
Sixth, maybe.
You went down one spot?
I think we went down two, actually. Two? One? I don't remember.
Nothing like Colorado and Vancouver, though.
Yeah, we went down two because Philly and Dallas passed us. So we were six, we went to eight. Draft like this doesn't necessarily matter. My rose-colored look at it is that it'll allow us to draft a defenseman, which is what we need. If we had picked at the top, you got to take the best player available, and the two best players available are not defensemen. They're both centers, so.
Mm. Yeah. That's Nolan Patrick and Heischer?
Nico Heischer. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be fine. If we got one of those guys, we wouldn't have a space for him. He'd have to play the wing. Someone would get moved to the wing, because we already have two bona fide centers.
Jack Eichel's a centerman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And O'Reilly can play the wing, but he's a center too.
So that is a nice thing.
He's paid like a center, so. Yeah.
Do you think that the quality of player in the Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel 1-2 is better or worse than the Austin Matthews,
it's
Patrick
hard to
Laine?
Say, everyone wants to say Matthews is getting way more praise now than he was. Like, he wasn't getting nearly the praise that he gets now, prior to Toronto winning the draft lottery. And then once they actually picked him, then his stock rose again. And then he scored 4 goals, and his stock rose again. And then he scored 40 goals, and his stock rose again. Rightfully, this time, rose again. He had a very good year.
He had a good playoff.
He'll win the Calder. He was very good. He's very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good player. He's better than I thought he was going to be. I always thought he was going to be one who... I thought he was going to be someone who started and hit his peak, like... I didn't think in his first year, but I always felt he was going to be a good player right away,
mm-hmm.
and then become his, he was going to peak at like 20, 23, I bet. Like, I bet he'll... Like, and that's not uncommon for these guys now.
Yeah.
They'll have their highest point total, you know, year 23 or 24. But they'll become better players even as they go on, right?
Yeah. Because
they learn how to play defense. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. play the other
two,
end.
Two
but, like, hockey. For how good... For 40 goals, so I didn't see that coming. And I,
yeah, that's a great
year. You know, the whole Edmonton-Toronto thing for Buffalo is that it's a total parallel to what we wanted to see for our team, and then we just have underachieved so bad, mostly because of injuries, I think, and because of bad, lousy coaching and lousy performances. Hmm. But we didn't have Eichel for 21 games, and he ended up leading the team in points anyways, and
jeez.
He was a top, and he was 11th in points per game for the league. So
for
like
the league, that's...
He was excellent. He was absolutely excellent.
And there is a thing, a definite one-up on... You know, is Eichel and McDavid were both centers.
Yeah.
And it is important to have a center.
Oh, yeah.
They're a hot commodity.
No team wins without a number one center.
Hmm. Do you want a squirt of this?
Oh, good.
I've been squirting Cool Whip into my mouth to get the horrendous
avocado acid.
I probably gave myself a coronary just by eating
some. Yeah, you'll be okay. You'll be all right. But, yeah, anyway, so Matthew, yeah, so this draft is not what it... What these other two have been, these last two.
Yeah, not even close is what I hear. I mean, I'm sure somebody will, you know, even next year, let alone years away, emerge as a great player from this draft. It's just right now it doesn't look like it's going to produce very many NHL-ready players.
Yeah,
right?
They say the first two guys will be, but that's the only kind of sure thing. Well, even Hersher is only a first year in the CHL.
Jeez.
So, like, but I bet, like, Philly will take him. Yeah. I'm almost guarantee it'll be Philly who takes him at two, and then he probably will play. He might. They have a lot of centers though, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they bring him in anyways. You know, cheap. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say.
How do you feel about Philly and New Jersey winning the draft lot, like being the big winners of the draft lot?
I don't feel strongly one way or the other. The new system, it like being that no one like tanked this year. It's hard to really get that worked up about the draft lottery.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't like that teams tanked, including my own. I don't like that. At the time, it made sense because we were so bad, like, to do it. But, karma, you know?
Yeah.
Teams who tank never get that, except for Toronto last year. Who tanked? If you're going to say anyone else tanked, they freaking tanked last year. And they got Matthews. But, like, this new system does not... A lot, like it doesn't guarantee you.
No, 20% chance of picking first overall is not
18. Yeah, it's like
18%. So it's even less than it used to be.
Yeah, it's good, and it seems like it goes down every year. And this year was even lower, I think, because Vegas was in there.
Oh, that's right.
So like it was brutal. Like I mean, it might be 20 normally, but like it's bad. Like 1 in 5.
Yeah, that's not great odds. Not
good, you know, and
it gets worse the better you are.
Yeah, and like Philly. Was a 2.4% chance to even get what they got. Like, it just boggles the mind. But, you know, no, it's fun. I like the way it is. Would I rather it just be worst team versus first? I wish we would do that. Ask me, the year my team wins it, I'll feel differently, right? It's just...
When you just miss the playoffs and then end up with the first overall pick, you'll be
pretty
happy.
I think that's the fairest way to do it, but... I don't know. The NHL always does goofy stuff. You know, their divisions for the playoffs and stuff like that.
That one bugs me. We talked about this last time, right? Just the lack of revenue that's now generated. What are you eating, Charlie? Don't eat that. Avocados are poisonous for dogs. I'm sure the seeds are probably worse. Don't eat that. Tastes terrible.
Yeah, just... The NHL's goofy that way. Like the NFL, it's last is first, right?
Yeah.
You're last or first. You know, NBA has a lottery. Major League Baseball, don't even talk to me about drafts.
It's such a crapshoot in Major League Baseball.
It reminds me of when the Habs, like, would get all the French players, right? In the early NHL days, it was just, like, not even fair. And it sounds better now than it used to be, but God, it's not even transparent. That's brutal. I guess we should be happy just for that, how transparent the NHL's draft system is. But I don't know. I think the whole draft lottery system now is a little bit reactionary. It's because teams have ruined it by tanking.
Well,
like
I mean, and if you want to be mad at New Jersey, remember that they got fucked out of Mario Lemieux pretty hard.
Yeah.
What I've heard is that
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Pittsburgh called up the AHL team.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last time.
And they shifted the goalies.
So it's kind of karma-ish that they end up years and years later drafting
first overall. Yeah, it's the first time they've drafted first overall, I think, since like 79 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, I don't even remember who they got. Was it Peter Stastny? I don't even remember.
No, but, I don't think it was.
He was Quebec. I can't remember. But anyways, yeah, like it's been a long time since they've won. And they were down there at the bottom, too. Like, they weren't, I don't think they were top three, but maybe they were. For odds, maybe they were. I don't remember, but yeah.
It's funny. I mean, I'm not really rattled about this about these draft lottery results, but I think about it, and I've talked before about how I'm trying to get away from hating teams. I think it's kind of a parasitic attitude, but if I can really, really, if I had to still hate two teams,
yeah.
Well. New Jersey kind of ruined hockey for a little bit. I don't know if they were solely responsible for the trap, but they kind of fucked hockey up a lot with winning, with the terribly... I mean, it's still hockey, so it's still exciting.
They drove hockey.
Comparatively, it made hockey a lot more boring. I would still argue that it wasn't boring, but it made it not nearly as good as it is now, and it was then. Yeah. And Philly was, you know, and they still kind of always have that reputation of a bunch of goons, and they really kind of brought gooning to the forefront of hockey. And
they both ruined the game at some point.
And New Jersey brought the trap to the
luckily
forefront. Both ruined the game at one point.
We're too young to really remember the gooning, but like the Jersey thing, they kind of they were frustratingly successful with their boring version of the game, and then.
Mm-hmm.
That always breeds copycats. And,
it's a copycat league. They all are. Yeah. And eventually they took away the red line.
I have no ill will against Jersey. I've always kind of disliked Philly.
Yeah, you know what, like...
They still always followed that goony philosophy.
Even as a guy who's trying to get away from hating teams, that's one that I have a hard time with. I don't know that I would ever cheer for...
I don't like hating teams, but there are a few I hate. And there's... More than that, there's ones I cheer against.
Yeah.
Right? Like Boston, don't like them. Philly's in the same boat, don't like them.
Yeah. You know? Just because of the gooniness?
Boston, Philly, yeah, definitely. And, good one. Who else? What was it? Toronto, I just hate.
Yeah.
Just hate Toronto.
More because they're a fan base, or just...
A lot of things. They're a division rival for us. Fans are idiots. There's so many of them that they seem like a giant... They have good fans to stick with them for all these years, but just their center of the hockey universe, BS, and all that, and, you know... we've said this before, though. It's good for the game for them to be...
Good.
A good team, right?
So, I agree. I actually enjoy watching them play.
They're a lot better than they used
to
be.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah, they're a lot. And Mike Babcock spurned my Sabres, too, so I wasn't happy with that. And Toronto's going to hell. I hate Toronto, but, yeah. I don't like to hate them either, let's just say.
That's
playoff hockey.
That's playoff hockey. That ain't no penalty.
You gotta keep your head up.
That's not boarding, I guess. Was that PK that got hit on the boards? It might be because he's black that they didn't call that.
Yeah. Boy, he's not allowed to have any personality.
No. How about this, watching the Predators be immensely successful in the playoffs after this big, gotta get PK, gotta run PK out of town.
Everyone's like got all these baseless criticisms for him, but no one ever plays the race card. I'm always fascinated by that. Because hockey's such a white sport, but... Like, I swear it's the race card. So with PK and
apparently Montreal's a pretty racist city.
I love Quebec is, man. That's what I hear. I can't speak to experience, but from what I understand, like redneck Frenchmen do not like people of color. That wasn't PK who got hit.
No, that's not.
That was Ellis. Yeah. Good one.
That's probably clean. Yeah. It's not, close to the board, so it looks bad.
It's not bad. It's not a great look, but yeah. No one ever says it's because he's black. It's just like Milbury going off on him the other day, and it's just
what's Milbury saying now?
Oh, he was just mad when he was dancing at the warm up on game 2 or whatever.
Yeah,
he's just such a blowhard. All the American commentators are such blowhards. I hate Milbury. I don't even know Milbury's. I think he's Canadian, actually, but...
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. I might be wrong.
I just remember when Bob McKenzie called him out once.
Yeah. Oh, he's such a douche.
Sweet. Like, they were on panel together.
I seem to remember that, yeah.
And he said something like...
So you're telling me,
you can just forget about all the things. And he's like, oh, I wish... I bet the New York Islanders wish they could do that.
Yeah, that's where you just ripped them.
Just right... Just point blank. Yeah. Just...
Yeah,
called him out for being a
bad GM for years. I can't stand him. I can't stand Rolnick. You know, I can't. And they're on the same panel or whatever. With NHL Network, but I think, or is it NBC? I can't remember. But they're just such jackasses.
Hmm.
You know, I just hate that. But yeah, I don't know. And then the Crosby thing sucks. That just sucks.
It's awful.
It sucks. It just happened. I don't think.
What's your opinion on that play?
I like not having a team in either of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I can feel good.
I have a really good friend who's a Pittsburgh fan, and gun to my head, I'd probably have to say that he is pretty incapable of thinking down the middle. With regards to his own team.
Is that a Pittsburgh fan thing? I swear. Maybe not.
I think that he can be kind of like this with just things in general. I think he has... Anything he doesn't like, he has a hard time giving, down the middle, bipartisan, fair assessment of.
Yep.
And I think anything involving Pittsburgh, there's going to be a natural... I don't...
Yeah.
He'll go so far as to say that it's not like he was trying to kill him. I don't think... Niskanen was trying to kill him, but he said there was an intent to injure there. I don't know if there was an intent to injure.
Watching it at speed, it doesn't look like it.
Watching it in slow motion looks awful.
Oh, of course.
But a lot of things can look awful in super slow motion. Yeah. Like, you see everything you want to see when it's
super slow motion. I feel like they should look at whenever they do their reviews, they do look at the super slow mo. When they do the offsides, they look at the super slow mo.
Well, that's different because that's the rules. Like, and I mean, it's technically against the rules to cross-check somebody, but everyone does it. It's like offsides, when you're reviewing a goal, or you're reviewing, like, that stuff's different because there's an actual rule in place that decides,
is this a rough game?
Yeah, they're chippy.
Yeah.
They're chippy at each other. There's an actual thing in place that says, okay, is this a goal, is this not a goal? When you're trying to determine intent to injure, offside, that's subjective. Sorry, that is objective. An offside, so they look at an offside for a goal, reviewing a goal in super slow-mo. Well, that's an objective thing. You have to, but I think in terms of looking at something in super slow motion for something that's subjective, that's so subjective is, did Niskanen try to give Crosby a concussion by cross-checking him in the face? When you're looking at that in super slow motion, I don't think that you're going to get the proper story that way.
Yeah.
I think because it does look awful when you look at it that way.
I get it. I agree with that. I just mean they do use super slow mo for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
like, fair enough. That is, you need to. I just think that, well, and obviously, they're getting into it big time. It's
McLeod and Reeves.
Yeah.
They're too good.
Obviously, the fact that they didn't give him, there's going to be no hearing. Obviously, they looked at it in slow motion and decided that didn't base enough of their review on the super slow motion because if they did, they would probably be getting a hearing.
Yeah, it's playoffs. Oh. Playoffs are screwy for everything. For anything, any kind of infraction is screwy. It's kind of... It's stupid. There shouldn't be two standards like that. I think it's dumb. It's either always be the rough and tumble playoff stuff, which would be terrible for the longevity of the game, for injuries for starters.
God. Guys would get so banged up during the regular season.
It would hurt
season.
At the gate, like having less stars in the game. You'd have a lot more resting of players.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get why it happens that way, but it's stupid. It's absurd that that it goes that way.
It is kind of...
It shouldn't be too
inherently
separate.
Stupid to have two separate sets of
Yeah.
I like it, I guess, just because it's the way it's always been, and I don't consider myself a hockey purist, but I guess close.
Yeah.
Somewhat of a tradition. It's just the way it always is, and playoff hockey is the rough and tumble environment that it is, and yeah, it is kind of inherently stupid.
to have two, just two
have
levels,
two separate sets of
two levels of play. Yeah, exactly. It's like two separate sports in a lot of ways. You know, it's
But if it's kind of dumb.
I don't know. It's frustrating when you watch it all year. You know, if you're a devoted fan and you watch it all year, and then you watch this, and it's like there was no penalty on that scrum right there of any kind. I don't think.
No.
And it's like, really? They were kind of, like, fighting back there. It's like, no, nothing, you know? But,
God. Not even taking both guys, like, offsetting?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe.
And especially when they're fourth liners and they're not going to see much ice time to begin
with. It's McLeod Reeves. It's like, just throw them off.
Just
like,
throw them in the box.
Or throw them out of the game. Like, like really, like, we don't need
Let's whittle down the skill. Yeah. Let's make it
the
so.
Games, I feel like they missed the boat because the intensity of the games would ramp up anyways, given the stakes, I think.
That's true.
You don't need to have all this chippy horse shit.
Well, as much as I am a proponent of fighting in the game.
Physicality is fine, but I just don't like this scrummy BS message sending stuff. It's stupid. It's unsportsmanlike.
I am a proponent of fighting in the game, but you can't really say that the Olympics or the World Juniors or even the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe the playoffs a little bit are hampered by no fighting, but not really. Like, yeah, the intensity of the game gets the more exciting and it gets more intense because of the stakes.
I want the skill players going. Like, I don't want them to have to play the guys who are like they're not for skill. Like, and the NHL is getting going that way on its own organically, right? Like, you look at Pittsburgh last year. It's the, you know, every year it's the copycat thing. Last year Pittsburgh was fast. Mm-hmm. Now every team tries to be fast.
Every team's trying to be fast,
right? They try and be fast.
Man, these guys are playing physical.
This is such a chippy game. Jeez. Yeah. Are they actually calling something?
They called the trip.
this stuff after every whistle like this.
You don't like the scrums.
I think it's dumb. I just don't. I don't think it slows the game down, and it just, I don't know. And it's just another way for guys to get hurt. Not that anyone ever actually gets hurt in those things, but like, I don't know. It's
about your ball, Charlie.
I don't know. As a hockey dad, I hate that stuff. Like, I don't want my son's gonna end up in that stuff eventually if he keeps playing. I'm like, I don't like that. That's it brings nothing to the game. I don't think.
Yeah,
the game can bring its own energy. It doesn't need this. This suddenly okay extracurricular after the whistle stuff. That's not okay in the regular season. You pull that in the regular season, forget it. But
well, the difference about the regular season is they actually fight.
Yeah.
Instead of having those scrums, they fight.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they have this instigator rule or whatever. Like,
well, the scrums are
okay. I'd rather just see guys scrap in the playoffs.
It seems like the scrums are just okay. They just can, you know, do whatever you want. Just shove them on, you know, put your hands in his face. Keep pushing till he falls, or you
bite
fall.
Fingers,
or someone like headlocks you from behind, pulls your helmet up, like, and then it's like, okay, all right, and then it's over, and it's
or
like,
you know, I remember the Vancouver Boston series in the Stanley Cup final. Everyone's making fun of the Sedins because they wouldn't fight back when they're getting punched in scrums.
Remember that, yeah.
And then they're like, well, yeah, we don't want to get penalties. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, the Sedins are a bunch of pussies. You can just punch them all day and they'll never hit you back.
Marchand was punching Daniel in the
head
that
time. Well, yeah, I used to punch people back and I got penalties for it, so I stopped doing it.
Yeah. I want to stay out there. Like, it's stupid. Yeah. Because it's only retaliatory stuff gets it, right? Not the instigations. Fuck, it's just.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
There are some flaws in that. The hockey's. The thing I do like with hockey is they make changes, and they're not afraid to make changes.
Yeah, yeah.
When they think it's better, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know. Usually,
they've made a lot of rule changes that.
And people love this playoff. People love this playoff format when they first pitched it. And everybody loved it. Now everyone hates it. So.
Yeah.
Last year was the Central Division, right? So like.
Yeah, everyone's all. There's going to be a victim.
He got tripping for that, even though he got tripped.
Well, did he get tripped, though? You think he got tripped there,
I think
PRV?
He got blowed up there, didn't he? Go back.
No, he just got hit.
Go back.
He just got hit. I mean, that's a clean hit.
Just let it play. I want to see. He got blowed up.
Blowed up.
PRV.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He just got clocked. Yeah, okay.
And then he sort of.
And then. Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty soft trip, honestly.
For what else?
But,
for the stuff they're not called. I guess he.
But he's around the net. He's trying to make a play. Like, you kind of got a reward. Guys falling when they're trying to make plays around the net to score, it's sort of like they're always going to have a little bit If he I was think in that's his, probably a legit penalty.
If he was in a defending zone, it wouldn't have called it.
Let's see what the announcers think. They know more than I do. Let's see what their thoughts on this call.
Boom! Seven hits on the night for Watson. He lays out Payarvi, and after Payarvi, while on the ground, he sticks his arm out and trips Harry Zolarchuk, who's trying to go for a wrap chance right there.
A little bit. So they didn't think it was bad. I think that's a good call. I mean,
For all the stuff they're not calling, I don't get it. But yeah, I guess Austin Watson. I don't know who that is. One of their fresher.
One of the many guys in the Preds that I have no idea who they are. And apparently the Preds are like a favorite to win the cup right now.
They're built.
I know that's who Merrick and Wyshynski picked to win the cup.
They're built Merrick especially. I think Wyshynski was just going with Merrick.
But. I'm just like, Subban. Yeah,
Merrick was all over that right from the get-go.
So. Yeah, he sure was. And for me, it's Subban, Rinne, and Forsberg.
Yossi.
And I didn't even know about Yossi.
Yossi's like, better than all of them.
Okay.
Subban's like, you know what Subban does, but Yossi's like their number one. Yossi's their number one defenseman.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He played with Weber for years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, well then.
And they signed him like, they did the smart thing where they signed him for like 7 years.
Well, the Ellis
for like
too.
$4 million.
Yeah, Ellis. They got a good blue line then. Ellis, oh, yeah. This Yossi guy.
One of the best. One of the best.
Subban, Ellis. Like, I mean, that's...
They got one of the best. So, like, when they got Subban, it just made them even more ridiculous. They always have a crummy kind of forward group, but this year it's better. They got Johansson now, who's quite good. Fisher, or not Fisher, Wilson and... Who's the other guy? Wilson and... Ah, Jesus, going to bother
Forsberg?
Me. Not for Forsberg's good too. Very good. He's only 22 or something too. He's just a kid. I'm trying to remember the other center they have. Mike Fisher is one of their centers, but they have Colin Wilson and
Forsberg
another
got drafted
guy.
The sorry to interrupt. You. Yeah, Forsberg got drafted the Nate MacKinnon, Seth Jones year, right? Was that his year?
Philip Forsberg, I don't remember. He got drafted by Washington and they traded Washington stupidly traded Philip Forsberg for Martin Erat as a playoff rental.
Yeah.
And it was like a panned trade right at the immediate moment.
Right at the beginning.
Because, he was a late first rounder. He was like a 25th or something like that. Because, you know,
he was that late?
Washington, for years was, has been so good in the regular season. For years they haven't picked above, like, holy shit. Look at that pass.
Rinne making Hail Mary passes.
Almost to the
far blue
line. Almost put his guys offside to receive that pass.
Jeez, I wonder if he's scored a goal yet.
Jeez. He's been jumping out of his net like a nutball here.
Yeah, he's cutting off angles something fierce.
Well, look at him. He's outplaying it. He was outplaying it at the dots almost.
Yeah.
And then when he went to stop a wrap or like a wheel around it, he ran into the boards hard behind his head to stop it like a player would. I've never seen a goalie do that. Jeez, this is a good game.
Yeah, it's good hockey.
He's rough, but... Or it's starting to calm down physicality
is starting to...
The speed's picking up, which I like better.
Yeah. I mean, I like it all.
I like a healthy
all,
mix.
I love it, for sure.
This is a 0-0 hockey game, but it's fun when there's chances.
Yeah.
And the goalies are just like, yeah, no problem, got this. Both of them are just cool as cucumbers back there. It's awesome.
So Washington drafted Philip Forsberg, actually.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they did. And it was a huge bad trade because Erat immediately left Washington after that, and then he just wasn't. Even that year, he wasn't nearly as good as he'd been.
Yeah.
And his career just fizzled. He went to Arizona and then just disappeared. He probably plays in Europe now. He was a good player. He played Saskatoon.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? But.
I told you off. Off camera, off podcast, that we found out they think it's going to be boy.
Boy?
So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's
fun.
That's exciting.
Did you get good and drunk at your wind-up for that?
I got drunk. I didn't get, like, super out of hand. Yeah. I was home before midnight.
Okay.
I drank pretty much I drank, like, vodka waters and beer. I had one White Russian.
Yeah.
We played this drinking game where you had to switch drinks.
Skate much?
Buddy just blew a tire there.
Oh, he's a goon, Zolarnik.
Yeah.
Or he's been a goon. I don't know if he is anymore.
But I had to switch drinks because this drinking game said to.
Yeah.
So then I only drank like half a White Russian, and then it got changed out for a beer. I drank mostly beer and vodka waters, and I took it. I think I got drunk, but it wasn't out of hand.
Okay.
Got home early. My shoes got puked on.
Oh.
But I didn't puke on them.
Yeah, I was gonna. I figured that's what it sounded like. Who puked on your shoes?
One of the players on my dodgeball team.
Okay.
One of the girls. There was two people that puked at this party, and they were both females.
Oh my.
Yeah, it was interesting. You don't always hear about that happening.
That's, you're not gonna have any more of those in your life.
So I maybe could have pressure washed the shit out of them, and they would have been fine. But I think I was good. I saw the puke on the shoes, and I was like, those things are pretty worn out. Anytime I run in them nowadays, they start to hurt my feet. They're falling apart. I'll just go home and sock feet. That's fine. I'll let these go.
That's funny.
And I did, and then I got a new pair of shoes.
Well, congrats on your son.
I'm very excited.
Such good news, it made the girls barf.
Yeah. The thought of having another... Lee out there,
Junior.
Another Lee Jr., an LJ, was just so sickening to them.
Well, I'll start bothering you about up. Names later.
Yeah.
You guys need some time to think about
Scorpion.
That. Scorpion.
Scorpion. That's Scorpion. The name.
McNugget.
McNugget. Rodimus Prime.
Rodimus.
Bryan Danielson.
Okay.
The Rock. Stone Cold.
Stone Cold.
Robert Connell. I don't know. Stone Cold.
You sound like you're off to a great start.
What other pro wrestlers do I really like?
Bob Backlund.
Too Cold Scorpio.
Bob Backlund. Chris Benoit. Oh.
Oh, no. Benoit.
It's real
Connell.
To me, damn it. Yeah.
Benoit. I wonder if I could name it. I think I would still probably.
I have a friend.
Probably
named
not allowed. Benoit.
I have a friend named Benoit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Knowing that the
prior, he's
given that
he's only a few years younger than me, so he's several years removed from Chris Benoit and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, but if people knew the origin, because I am a giant Chris Benoit fan as an in-ring performer and.
Prior to that one.
Prior
day.
To the, like, cause,
hopefully
it's so,
yeah, in the ring, yeah.
It's so sad. It's not, like, it's such a tough, complicated thing because you can't ever talk about the kind of person he was, but from all accounts, from anyone, they said that he was a great guy. He was intense.
Yeah.
He was a really intense guy, but he was a great guy, so it's hard to talk like that nowadays, and maybe one day it will be okay to say that as we learn more and more about CTE. I think a big thing that happened with Chris Benoit is head trauma.
Oh yeah, no,
you know,
clearly.
They did say that his brain was, you know, like a,
whoa,
you know, 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient or something like that. Like it was bad.
Nope.
I'm not saying that that excuses what he did, but
yeah.
Maybe. There was a total lack of control in that situation. I like to always think that you have the wherewithal to not do that stuff, but I've also never had the brain of an 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient. So who knows what the fuck went on in that house when that happened.
We know what happened.
I'm not trying to get... We do know what happened.
We know what happened at the end of it.
We do. What happened is he was... His.
We don't have to go into it.
Well, no, because his wife was. Well, I don't know how his wife ended up dying, but his son was sleeping, face down on the ground. So he went up and they said that he put the crippler crossface on his son, but he was just trying to wake his son up. So he put the crippler crossface on his son to like try to wake his son up. And his son didn't wake up, and he realized that he was dead, and he was like, oh, fuck, like, I'm really sad about this. I got to work out to forget about this and not think about this anymore. And he was working out. He was doing lat pull-downs, and then the bar accidentally just hung him. And then he died.
Really?
No, I'm joking. Like,
okay.
It's a joke. It's a really,
like,
really,
like,
really terrible offside joke.
I was like, this is dark and strange and... I'm pretty sure he just killed his whole family.
Yeah, no, he killed his whole family.
Yeah.
Shout out to my buddy Dallas on my baseball team. right, very early on in the Chris Benoit story, when it got out what had happened, he had said, like, no, basically it's all in, he was making a joke, it's like, innocent. It's all innocent. His wife, he, you know, this, I forget how his wife, like, what this, but I know, I remember him talking about his son and saying, like, yeah, he just put him in the crippler crossface to, like, wake him up, and then that didn't work, and then he's like, oh, I better go work out. And then his bar accidentally hung him up by the neck, and he died. Oh, terrible jokes, but
bad joke.
Too soon.
Statue of limitations.
Too late. Too soon. Awful.
Don't name your kids.
Super dark. Don't kid about that. We try to heal with humor.
Yeah,
it's a hard, very, very hard thing about to joke. You know, about. Guy killed his whole family.
Went out for a steak dinner with my wife.
Changing gears.
Went out for a steak dinner with my wife. So just like sit down meal, restaurant. And for the first time ever, I ordered two drinks at one time at a restaurant.
Really?
I got myself an Old Fashioned and a beer. And it was a Molson Canadian. And it was fantastic. I felt like
you're
such...
candy flipping.
I drink beer so rarely. And, you know, for years and years, I've bought in, like, fancy six-packs you find on the rack.
Yeah.
Not in the fridges where the cheap shit goes or the generic stuff goes. And for years and years, I've been doing that. And lately, the last few... fancy six packs I've gotten have been just really, really, really uninspiring. So
yeah,
I've really gotten back to like
regular old domestic beer,
MGDs and Canadians. And
my wife just bought me a 12 pack of MGD for my birthday, along with some other beers.
Isn't it good though?
I love MGD. Always been one of my favorite beers.
I've never really said no to it, but it's just
you just got into the more
fancy, fancy hipster BS. And now I'm like, I just want, like, I don't want Bud Light or anything, but
outside of Bud Light,
I'll take a Budweiser.
Yeah, I like Budweiser. I love
Budweiser.
Other than Coors Light and
I like Bud Light. Crappy jock beers again. Like I don't know. I just don't.
You had a Kokanee recently at all?
No, that one's a little further down. Yeah, I had a Bud Light by accident, and I got ribs. We went out and I got ribs one day, and then at Montana's we went to because it's a good kids place, and. When we were there, I like ordered a Budweiser. Actually, and she accidentally brought me Bud Light. I'm like, fine, I'll just drink this.
Yeah,
but I drank it. It's okay.
I can't really say that I hate Bud Light. I remember when we were young kids growing up, and we started to like beer.
Yeah.
Or even before we started to like beer, it was everyone drank Coors Light, and we had to make fun of CLGs, Coors Light guys.
Coors Light guys.
We had to make fun of all the guys who drank Coors Light. I can't really say it's a bad beer.
It's a good day drinking beer.
Banquet. Yeah. Coors is awesome. Whoa. That's a great beer. Coors Light, not so much, but I can't really say it's a bad drink. Coors Light's fine.
It's fine. It's better than Bud Light, but yeah, like Coors Original is a tasty.
Is the shit. That beer is awesome.
That's one that I have gotten into in the last few years, and it was more on the fancier side, and I still like that one. That one never lets you down, because that one kind of came
out. I remember you were into regular Coors, like, well before it was a popular thing.
So I went to Denver, because we were there, and then I tried it there, and I was like, sweet Jesus, this is good. And then all of a sudden, it was here everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like a regular,
big popular beer.
It's awesome. And now you see every bar has it on tap.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I had a bottle of Molson with an Old Fashioned, which is like a bourbon drink. It's expensive, but it's so good. And like,
Old Fashioneds are
with
amazing.
My steak. It was so good.
Yeah,
it was such an old man meal. And I was like,
Are you a barbecue sauce on? I hear that's like a cardinal sin.
No,
I
that's
love like, barbecue sauce.
That's
on
a
my
Trump
steak.
Voter thing. I don't know what that is.
Really?
I don't know. But he eats well done with ketchup because he's a fuckhead. But yeah, no one does that. No. You get a rare steak. With, I like it with peppercorn.
You do get seasoning on it.
At the keg, I get peppercorn gravy with it, which is like...
No A1, no bullseye. I'd be going
for burgers. I'll throw that on burgers, on the barbecue, but no, never with a good steak.
Really?
Maybe with a crap cheap steak.
What about like a rub marinade, like Montreal steak spice?
Montreal steak spice is fine. It's just a shake, right?
Yeah.
It's mostly pepper and dried garlic, I think. And I use that on every steak.
Yeah.
That when I cook it. But that's it. That and cook it rare and then eat it that way.
Yeah.
And it's juicy and it's delicious. But Yeah, I don't do steak sauce of any kind.
No, really?
Ever. Huh. Maybe for a cheap, chewy steak or something like that.
Yeah, a tougher than a $3 steak. Yeah. And you put some...
Do whatever you want, but I like to go spend, you know, $9, you know, $9 or $12 steaks, you know, from the store. It's,
yeah.
That's the better. Or go up from there, right?
Yeah.
I bought, like, $19 ones that are, holy. Like, those are the best.
And that's from, like...
That's a grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you got that at a restaurant, it'd be like an $80, $90 steak.
No, it'd be a $35, $40 steak, you know. But and that's what I had on the weekend. It was like a $40 steak. It was good. It's awesome.
Sweet.
But yeah, like I never do sauces with that. Like those the HPs and the things like that, you can throw them on burgers and other kinds of meat, but a good I like to go upmarket with steak and just put steak spice.
And just go, that's it, that's all.
Yeah. But I like it rare, too. So, like,
yeah.
It's quite juicy and it cooks pretty fast.
Never, so. I enjoy steak, but I'm not a connoisseur.
You gotta try
of any sorts. Try, I do really like
try
it.
Try a real good steak.
But I find it's hard to, like, get enough. I always eat, like, a steak when we get, you know, if I'm ever at something that gets served steak, I'm always hungry still.
You gotta eat it slower, but yeah, get a bigger one too, like a 12 ounce.
Or get like five of them and just, you know.
You gotta have the right stuff with it, you know. You can't just eat steak. It's.
Yeah, you have like
your potatoes. You know, I didn't like steak till. I didn't like steak till like the last 10 years at most. And it was because my now father in law made them, and I was like, holy shit, this is good. They taught me how to make it, how to do it.
What you do.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, geez, I like it. Because my mom used to make it. I'm like, this is chewy, and I. Fucking hate it. Where's the ketchup?
You used to put ketchup on your steak.
Oh yeah, I would dip it. I was a kid.
Kids love ketchup.
Yeah, and my mom wouldn't buy them a fancy steak, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I grew up like I don't like to take steak. It's chewy. And then my wife's dad, Dave, was like, "Yeah, no, it's good. Let me make you a steak." I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
Trying to like, oh geez, this is good. This is so good. Yeah, it's the best. It's my favorite meat for sure. But, well, ribs. It's close with ribs. I like ribs a lot. But yeah.
Do you put?
I'll make you steak sometime.
Do you put sauces on your ribs?
I like barbecue ribs. Like I like slow cooked barbecue ribs that cook in a pot of barbecue. You know, of like.
Yeah.
I've made my own barbecue like rib sauce before, and it's like ketchup. And it's ketchup and brown sugar and like sweet sauce.
Yeah.
It's a concoction of stuff that you cook it in slow cooker and in for 8 hours or whatever. So when you take it out, like the meat can fall off the bone, right? And it's so good.
Yeah, ribs are awesome. I do. I'm barbecue a big fan ribs. Of ribs.
My wife only likes Greek ribs. She doesn't like sweet.
Really?
She doesn't like sweet ribs, like sweet meat.
What?
She doesn't like sweet with her meat. Yeah, and I certainly do. I like both of them, but Greek ribs are more of a. It's usually like lemon and.
Greek ribs is more like an appetizer. Those
are like Greek ribs, but I can make like. I've made like a slow cooker mix where. Or a slow cooker kind of version where it's like a big rack of ribs and then you cook them in there and it's like lemon juice.
Yeah.
Oregano.
I've had, that you mention it, I've had like. Ribs that are like Greek ribs that aren't like they're not always just dry ribs.
Like dry ribs are like tough, cheap little fucking things. Like good ribs are like tender, cooked properly. But like dry ribs are fried, right?
Yeah,
speed cooked and they're cheap, so the meat is just like
It's what you eat at like a platter for like an appetizer platter.
That stuff is the kind that gets stuck in your teeth. Like the nice slow cooker ones.
Yeah,
those are just like they're just soft and. Tender and yummy.
Sweet. Changing gears drastically, I am starting to worry about how my dog Charlie is going to be treated once the baby comes. He might. Oh. He might be treated like that fart. Just a fart in the wind, and I'm sad for him. I love my dog, but he's a bad dog. He's a bad dog. He's not obedient. He doesn't. We put the number. This is gonna sound really shitty, but our number one priority with our dog is just that he's happy and that he gets loved. That we love our dog.
Yeah.
Next to that was, we don't want him to piss in the house anymore. So we dealt with that, and now he's pretty good at not pissing in the house. And we can get him to, like, sit and shake a paw, but that's about it. We haven't put much emphasis on being disciplinarians and getting him to do, be a good dog. Right now, he's biting my socks. He's not supposed to do that. But, you know, you can't, it's like in Simpsons. Well, when he's trying to train his dog, and he gets all mad at his dog, and he, like, pulls on his choke chain, and then Bart feels all sad about it, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Like, you can't help that you're stupid. It, like, today, I'm taking him for a walk, and I always tell him, stay out of the muck. And he always has to walk in the fucking muddy parts of the park.
Because he likes that feeling between...
He likes that feeling between his toes. He's like you. He likes the mud feeling between his toes. And then I have to wash his feet in the bathtub. And I know that he can't help it. I know that he's... You can't blame him for being dumb. And we haven't done a great job. But I'm like... he's starting to wear on me. Our backyard is fucking pasture. There's piss... He's killed all the grass in our backyard. Like, it's all dead. I'm looking at it now that stuff is starting to turn green. Because summer's coming. And it's just... patches, like, we have a polka dotted yellow grass, just because I've let him just, as long as he doesn't piss in the house, I'm happy. I could have probably trained him to piss, I'm talking about you, I probably could have trained him to piss on the rocks so that he wouldn't kill any grass, and we've got dead grass everywhere.
It's your first dog, so all bets are off.
I love him, he's the best, but I'm wondering if he's just gonna totally get neglected once this baby comes.
Well, I'll you know, like, A, it's your first dog, raise him however the fuck you want, however you can stand, you know, like, when my current dog, Chief, the boxer, he's a big dog, my first big dog, and I took a real solid stance of I'm alpha with him, and I knew it wouldn't make him my best friend necessarily, our relationship wouldn't be like, oh, buddy, come here, you know, like, he's not my best friend, I'm his master, and I've had dogs like that where he's not quite as obedient, and like it you know, and that works, dog's happy, but you don't get quite as much, you know, they just aren't as good at listening.
Yeah.
So I took more of the parent approach with this with my big dog, to just like, I know it's gonna kill me a little bit inside to not be nice to this dog all the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes I gotta fucking train him to not.
He's super smart too. I mean, I make fun of him all the time, but your dog is fucking smart.
He's
sharp.
That's his breed, I think, more than anything. But like, I really worked hard to make sure he knows where his bread is buttered, who's boss.
Yeah.
And I was like, with a big dog, I think that's important, because I noticed when he was littler, if I kind of laxed off on the training and the alpha part, he would try and run the house himself, and that's not okay, not gonna happen.
Especially with a dog that big.
Yeah.
See, that's the lucky
thing. And I wasn't sure what to expect with that either. Yeah.
Then that's, I think, a big part of why he's run his leash as long as it is, you know, he's a little dog, so, like, he does a bunch of shit that's shitty for dogs to do, but from a little dog, it's not a big deal. Like, he likes it. And yeah, I guess maybe we should have done better. But I mean, if we had a big ass dog, we would have cracked the whip on this, all this stuff, right away, because you can't exactly have golden retrievers jumping up at you when you get to the door, because they'll hit you in the face.
Yeah, you would. It's different. It's a different.
Yeah, animal. And he's not really gonna hurt anyone. I mean, every now and then he does this thing on walks. I think he might be protecting us. That's kind of what I think is happening, is he's protecting Lisa and I. But every now and then, like, we're on walks and we pass. It doesn't happen all the time on walk, but, like, we'll walk by people, and he's terrified of dogs. If he sees a dog coming, he'll see it before I do, and he will turn the other way. He sees people, he'll look like he's chill about it, and then as soon as we're walking by them, he'll all of a sudden decide that he's going to try to bite their ankles. And I don't know if he thinks they're a threat to us, and he's trying to... I don't know what it is, but it's fucking weird. Luckily, he's little, so it's not, you know, it's
everything's a smaller scale, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, fuck, buddy.
Well,
like, anyways.
When you have... My advice is, as dear old dad over here, you're gonna make a decision once that situation comes to it. Like, we had our cat, who we loved to death, and we'd had him for years and traveled all over the place with him, and we had to just make the tough choice and get rid of him. Not to say you have to do that with Charlie, but it was tough, but it was easy.
Yeah.
It was easy.
There's priorities, right?
It was like, sorry, buddy. Like, you have to go. And we took him to a place where we hoped he had a good life. Or yeah. Still around. But, you know, it was just what we had to do.
Yeah.
We gave him away.
Yeah.
And we found a taker for him, and it was good.
Well,
and
Bill Burr, if you listen to the podcast, he loves his Cleo, his pit bull.
Yeah.
But he's like, I got to give this thing away. And he never lets himself get emotional. Anytime he's, like, going to cry, he turns the podcast off.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, I've been really emotional about this, but, like, I can't... He says, like, I have friends come over, and this dog fucking goes crazy on them. I can't have a little kid running around with this dog.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I don't, like, I mean...
You're going to figure it out. You're going to figure it out real fast and real easy.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a real easy decision to make. It won't be hard. It'll be hard in that, if it was to come to that. I'm not saying it would.
Yeah.
But if it did... It would be sad and stuff, but you'd be like, nah, this is like a no-brainer.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah.
The thing about Charlie,
I sure hope not.
Is I'm not thinking that way at all. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's kind of bugging me that people are saying, like, oh, Charlie, you're going to be second fiddle once the baby comes. I'm like, no, fuck that. Like, it's different. Like, nice thing about Charlie he's pretty low-maintenance dog, and for the most part... He's pretty content to just have us around.
Yeah.
If we are in his presence, we don't have to be... He's just happy that we're around a lot of the time. Every now and then he gets bored and he goes and chews on shoes or whatever, wants to go out. But he's pretty good about that. So I don't know that... Like, obviously we're going to be around when we're raising our son.
Yeah.
So I don't know... Like, I mean, gun to your head, obviously you're going to pick your son over your dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's... different, I'm hoping, and that he'll just be like, okay, well, they're still here and we care about him and we're around, and I'm hoping he'll still be happy that we're around and he won't get super jealous.
Yeah.
But, you know, just some of this, maybe I'm just grumpy, lack of sleep, whatever, but I'm looking at my lawn, I'm looking at his dirty feet when he's walking in the muck, and his lack of listening. We've had a lot of company, he's been around company a lot lately, and that's maybe why it's so fresh in my... We had movie night here.
Yeah.
And the last two movie nights we've had here, he's been a fucking shit face the entire time.
Yeah.
And we were over at Lisa's parents' house last night visiting Lisa's cousin and her husband who just had a baby boy.
Yeah.
And he's around more company. And he's just being a shit face around company right now, totally reflecting poorly on his humans. And maybe it's just fresh on my mind, like this fucking dog right now. Not a few months, like weeks old. And he wasn't really a shit face to the kid or anything.
Yeah.
Apparently he tried to bite, shout out to our buddy Colin, I guess he tried to kind of play and bite their baby daughter, which, not okay. But Lisa was on track of that and got to that, and I don't know. I don't think he's malicious. I think he just wants to play. I don't know what it is, but
so busy those first, like that first month especially, first 2 months, first 3 months. Every day is easier than the one before. Every day is easier than the day before. But like that first month is like, it's tough. It's great and it's fun, and it's like it's something you've never done before. But it's a tough slog that first month. Just with for me it was sleep. You know, it's just not used to running on such little sleep. But you learn to cope. And it's just
find ways to deal.
It's cool. It's great. But it's like it's all tough.
I love you, Charlie. You know, but, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I bet you guys are working out with the dog.
Yeah.
I bet you will.
He's a good puppy.
Yeah.
Hey.
And if he's good just being around you, you'll be around a lot.
He'll be around, exactly. So he might be more happy that we have a baby.
Yeah.
Because we're around.
You'll have a stroller, and it'll be still summer, and you'll just fire him on his leash, and you'll grab the stroller, and that'll be your number one thing when they get
home. He'll be around, and he can just sleep knowing that we're... Yeah. He can sleep on the couch knowing that we're around.
Dogs with kids are great. As long as you get the kid-to-dog interaction thing working okay.
Yeah.
They go together real good.
Nice.
Bring it home.
Okay, so you bring it home. You fucking bring it home.
Bring it home.
You bring it home.
I
close
like Who's a bad closer? Who's a bad closer for the baseball? I close like Drew Storer.
That's a low blow. That's a fucking you touched a nerve there. He's in Cincinnati. I need to look up his stats. I think he's.
I hope he's doing well too.
I always liked him, and he was like an original National.
Yeah.
Like he was, he had a tie to the Expos. Actually, he was an Expos bat boy. He was a bat boy for the Expos. Ian Desmond was the last remnant of Montreal Expo, and he's out. He's in the Rangers now.
Rockies.
He's their. Oh, he is now. Oh, he went to the Rockies from the Rangers. That's right. We've talked about this already. But he was the last remnant of like original.
That's funny.
Like Expos franchise. Like I think the Expos had drafted him or something at one point. But yeah, but Drew Storen was a bat boy at one point. FP Santangelo though, who is a great Expo, is one of their like analyst guys. He's like a commentator analyst guy as well. So there is Expos ties.
But that's why I closed like Drew Storen. You're the John Wetland of this
country. All right.
Go ahead.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. GMCpod.podbean.com. Our long-lost co-host, Chris, always says that you don't need to tell the people that because they're listening. They know it already. But there's that iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff. Tell your friends. We get about 5, 6, 7 downloads per episode, and I'm surprised that that many people listen, but I would like more people. I think the unemployment hour might not be very good, but I think when I do podcasts with you and Chris, they're good. So as much as I'm always embarrassed to hawk, you know, and be a shill for our podcast, I do think that it's good, and I would like more people to listen. So check it out. Tell your friends. Have a good one.
Bye.
Later.